This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To it. Overnight, 63, and then tomorrow we could see a couple of showers, even a thunderstorm, a high of 68. Sunday, a couple of showers and a heavy thunderstorm possible, the kind that could bring downpours, hail, damaging wind gusts, maybe even a tornado. That is Sunday. But currently, we've got nothing but sunshine and 64 degrees, and that weather is sponsored for you by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. Chesterfield Fence and Deck, your premier provider of fences, decks, patios, sunrooms, and more. Call for a free estimate today, now offering 48 months interest-free financing on your next outdoor project, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, chesterfieldfence.com. It's 9:03. I'm Debbie Monterey, KMOX News.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Oh boy, Amy! Oh. Amy, start the show.
It's just hard.
Start it. Say something.
It's Friday.
Yes.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, and as we do every Friday, we're hanging with John Hancock and Michael Kelly, the two absolute best.
And they are exhausted.
Yeah, and you can't see the lines in the parking lot out there.
Oh,
what?
There's nothing worse than that. Where I come in here this morning, worried that my key card wouldn't open the door, you know.
Wait, why are you worried about that?
Well, you just never know. And so, They had four parking spaces open next to each other. You never see that.
There's no cars
around. No cars.
Okay.
I'm thinking I'm going to land this puppy. And so I pull in, and I look, and I open the door because you can't see the lines.
Yeah.
And I open the door, and the line is like 5 feet over. Which means I parked in the middle of two parking spaces.
You're straddling.
So you can't do that. So I back up, and I take a second run, and I park again. I open the door, and now I'm 6 feet away from the line. So I think, oh, screw this. So I went and found two cars and parked between them, and here I am.
I went and found two cars.
What age do they start like testing you to make sure you're still old enough that you're okay to drive?
The whole point you can't see the lines.
Okay.
And if you can't see the lines, how do you park between lines you can't see? You can't do it.
But John, this problem's not unique to, maybe it's your eyesight, because this is not unique to just here at KMOX. You have a hard time parking everywhere.
Yeah, I do. I do. But I was just at the doctor yesterday and
what'd he say?
I'm in good shape.
Really? Healthy as a horse, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, oh man, this guy must be one optimistic fella.
I love him. In fact, he's so good, he might have to go to work for Trump.
Good for you. It is good to go to the doctor
Wait a minute. Okay. Three things. And don't we have three? Are we still doing three things?
Yeah.
We're not sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Opening day and a win for the Cardinals. How about it?
5-3, they beat the Minnesota Twins. They'll enjoy an off day today.
And Governor Mike Kehoe has signed a bill to put St. Louis police under state control. Finally, I thought we were supposed to sign that a few days ago, John, but we finally got it done.
It's done. All signed, right. Sealed, and delivered.
And the Blues, are you kidding me with this team?
Wow.
They have now won 8 straight games, beating Nashville. So a good night for the St. Louis Blues.
Absolutely.
All right, boys.
We're in second place in the wild card, right?
Yeah.
So are we pretty much insured that we're going to make it to the playoffs?
No. Well, right. If they keep playing like this, they could finish in third place.
Yeah, they were like
vociferous no.
8 in a row. I mean, that's...
I must confess that I've just recently started to look at the hockey standings, because the Blues have gotten back into it. The way they divided up the conferences makes no sense to me.
Well, you got the East and you got the West.
I know, but Chicago and St. Louis are playing with all the folks on the West Coast. Why wouldn't we be playing on the East Coast?
Well, because you got right in the middle East of the country. And the West. And so it's the Mississippi River, I think, that is the, no, it's not.
That would be a false argument. Yeah. Chicago
is over there.
I mean, Winnipeg, right, is in the Central Division and the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Which you just kind of feel like you're looking all over.
See, I asked John things, and he speaks in such an authoritative way that you'll believe him on stuff. So this morning he told me that 2-inch diameter hail would be the size of a pickleball.
Well, that's right, because of the diameter.
That does not sound right to me.
So you can't take a ruler to a circle because the ruler's not, it's straight.
Is that why this text message is right at the top? It says diameter is line all across the circle, radius is half the diameter?
Correct.
Is this what you were talking about?
Yeah. Right. And so the diameter is the line between the midpoint there of the circle. And so if you had a 2-inch diameter,
yeah,
which is what they're talking. I mean, that's like pickleballs raining down from the heavens.
It's the size of a pickleball,
well,
or maybe
if it's
a golf
2-inch
ball.
Diameter, and you got these.
Have we ever had softballs
falling
come out of the sky like that?
I've never seen it. It's not a softball, Michael. It's a pickleball, and
pickleballs are almost 3 inches in diameter.
Okay, so it's a pool ball. Ooh, now there's something. Imagine pool balls raining out of the heavens, falling on your car on Sunday. This is not good. This is this could be biblical.
That's what we're going to get?
That's what it says. The National Weather Service.
I did hear it's going to get pretty nasty. Like, it's super warm and sunny today, and then Monday the high is 52.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, the in-between, it could be tornadoes again. Mm-hmm. Lots of wind, hail.
Wow.
Pool
and
balls.
We've got sports on Sunday, too. We've got the Cardinals playing. You have City SC. There are 2 games, actually, at City Park. There's the City SC, and then after City 2 plays. So it's it's a doubleheader.
How'd you like to be kicking that ball around the field and the ball's falling on you at the same time? That would be horrible.
I think that would kill you.
You could be bad.
Well, I don't think they would keep playing.
I think they do in soccer.
Not during hail.
Oh, when my kids were little, they played in the middle of all kinds of stuff.
I don't think anybody plays in hail, John.
Huh?
Even when you're walking uphill to school, both ways.
I don't think CYC
it'd make it interesting,
is kicking the kids out there in a hailstorm.
I wonder if they were
soccer guys with helmets.
St. Mary's of Concordia, get out there.
If it were to hail in one of those outdoor hockey games, would they continue to play?
No.
Oh, why not? It's ice. You're out on ice. You got helmets on.
It's ice falling on you, though.
Yeah. I will say, of all the sports, hockey is probably the best one to get hailed on.
Yeah.
To Michael's point.
It would make it more challenging,
It would. Well, speaking of playing ball,
yes.
Do y'all enjoy opening day? Ronge, by the rasp in his voice, sounds like he did.
What are you talking about?
You got the Irish flu over there,
I had
buddy?
A nice time.
Did you now?
Did you? Were you sitting in a big fancy box?
Oh, you know he was.
It was a small box.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Were you funneling those beers one after another, buddy?
You had 3 by 10 a.m.
Oh, dude. I had one on the way in. That's not true.
Is that the deal where they keep bringing hot dogs every time the hot dogs run out?
Well, we were in the KMOX suite.
Ah.
I guess it was the KMOX suite.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. So we enjoyed ourselves.
Must have
we had a nice time.
Yeah. I was there. I was disappointed.
You were
they
in the
went
KMOX
early.
Suite?
No. Are you kidding? I would have only been able to stay for a half inning. Kelly, your time's up. See you later. What'd you think of that pitch, son?
Were you in your seats?
Generally, we take a big group. But, this is the I went to opening day.
Yeah.
I've only missed one opening day in the last 30 years.
Wow.
Wow.
And
why? Why'd you miss that one?
I went snow skiing. So
with a lady?
Probably. I don't even remember. Well, but I knew I remember. But, I mean, like Easter and Christmas, opening day is something we do. And so it was fun. I was with my mom yesterday. She got to meet Dave Glover.
Oh.
Oh, man. You should. Hey, you want to see a rock star? Watch Glover walk into a. Oh, my God. Dave Glover. And so we had a good time. It was a very nice time with my mom. What was I trying to answer to you?
Something.
Oh, well, anyway, I didn't get to see the Clydesdales because they went early with them yesterday.
They and went by an the way, hour before the ceremony.
When I tell you that, I think 95% of the reason I go to opening day is to see the Clydesdales.
Yep.
And I bet 3 out of every 4 times I am stuck in the security line or somewhere else and I don't get to see them go.
Oh, that's sad.
Is there another horse that has those furry little paws?
Another horse?
I think the Clydesdale's the only horse that's got the little furry paws.
That's a good question.
I don't think
horses grow that little booty.
The furry
paws.
Thing. Yeah. I think the Clydesdales.
We should crowdsource
that's
this.
That's what makes them unique.
If there are other horsies that have the furry paws. Yeah.
There was a debate as to whether or not other people were allowed to have Clydesdales, John asked this morning. And I was like, I know people who go to farms and there's Clydesdales that have nothing to do with the
United
States.
You can own a Clydesdale.
Yeah, you can
They're
have
very expensive.
AB can't have a monopoly on Clydesdales.
They might.
They're not. They don't.
They might. I mean, think about this. The brewery, Anheuser-Busch, St. Mm-hmm. Louis, Missouri, is the owner of every Clydesdale in the world. Think about that. Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't think they should get a monopoly.
I don't know.
I think there's a law against it.
Yeah. I just can't imagine that's the case. Now, they probably have good bloodlines that they've created, you know, like real good-looking Clydesdales.
Wouldn't at some point they all be related, though?
Have you ever seen a Clydesdale that's obviously a reject?
I mean, if you've got Clydesdale,
you have.
Oh yeah,
if you've got,
I've seen retired Clydesdales.
Wait a minute. All right, I'm making a good point here.
Okay.
So if you got the Clydesdales,
yes,
and you got Floyd and Marge, and they have a kid, right?
Yeah.
At some point, when you've had the Clydesdales for as long as Anheuser-Busch has. Are you not ultimately inbreeding your Clydesdales?
No.
Because aren't they all related?
That's like Adam and Eve.
No, because you got the Ronjis over on the left coast. You got the Mark's course over on the right coast. You got the Hancocks in the central.
I don't know.
You mix them up. So you constantly are keeping that bloodline going, but it's a good bloodline for the different
niches. Let's schedule that, PJ. Let's get the Clydesdale.
It's like Adam and Eve. It gets spread out. Technically, we're all related, but it's spread out.
That's a long time. I'm talking about that. How long have they had the Clydesdales?
Since
the
50s? Forever.
At least 7 years.
No, I think the Clydesdales made their first appearance publicly taking beer to the White House at the end of Prohibition.
1935.
Yeah, at the end of Prohibition.
Huh.
I think that's what
really
Gussie Bush did. Yeah, we won't be able to cover it in our show, but maybe you guys ought to give this a little bit of time.
Wait, we don't have enough time?
80-some years. No, I'm serious. I bet they're all related.
Well,
no, come on.
I don't know.
Well, that's what they say about you Hancocks.
Well, and that actually is true. So,
what a day already. By the way, there were Clydesdales at the Nationals opener.
Right.
Yes, yesterday.
Saw that.
There's a couple three hitches, I think.
We have a commenter on our YouTube stream, if you want to watch us on YouTube. Yes, there are other breeds of horses that have long hair at the hooves, like Shires and Gypsy Vanners.
Oh, the Gypsy Vanners.
The Gypsies. I've been worried about
that's
them.
Not a bad
Stay
joke.
Away from
That'd
the Gypsies.
That'd be a great name for a Kentucky Derby horse right there.
Gypsy Joiner?
The Gypsy Vanners.
Is there a horse named John Hancock in the Kentucky Derby? Because we have a texter who says, does John Hancock know he may be running in the Kentucky Derby?
Hey, of course. I bought that guy. Several years ago, and well, three, I guess.
You can afford horses,
no,
and you
I don't
can't
have
afford lunch for me.
What are they paying you every 20 minutes?
Yeah, what is the rate for
parking?
What is the rate for a 20-minute
show?
Well, validation
we're going to find out in about 2 weeks.
Dude, how fun would it be to come in for 20 minutes and leave?
Hey, can I tell you how good you guys sound on 104.1, though? And
right?
That's no kidding, because I don't have AM in my car because I have an electric car, so I had to... I've always had to listen to us on the app. If I went to 102.5, sometimes I could get it, but it was kind of messy because the HD signal will go in and out. But, man, I didn't realize you sound as good as you guys do when we get to hear you on the radio. And I get to be with you in person. You're actually better on 104.1.
That's right.
It does That's sound right. good.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah, we've made the switch to 104.1 FM, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, and if you think, wow, Ranji's voice sounds deeper and raspier, it does, but that's not the FM. That's a hangover.
I had some Bud Lights yesterday.
A couple?
Poor guy.
Had a couple.
He's a trooper, though. He's been smiling. He's been in a good mood, and I know he can't feel great.
Really?
Oh, I'm fine.
Are you hungover?
I'm fine.
No, he's not hungover.
I've never had a hangover.
What?
Yeah, I don't get a headache. I can.
What?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I can go as hard as I want in the next day.
I do not believe you.
I have a friend who claims he's never had acid reflux.
I've never had a headache.
Yes, you have. Indigestion?
No.
John?
You've never had heartburn?
No.
He's healthy as a horse.
I mean, I've had a heart attack and a stroke, but I've never had never had heartburn. I'm healthy, man. A doctor told me.
What's his name?
Never felt better,
Dr. Patch.
Well, you can't. You got the no. You got the. You got the what they call the HIPAA law.
Oh, HIPAA. Yeah.
You don't want to violate the HIPAA law. That's
Hancock and Kelly.
Yeah.
With us until 10 on the Chris and Amy Show. 104.1 FM KMOX. So I'm told that we have some audio that has been unearthed.
Exclusive audio?
Yeah, this is Chris and Amy Show. John Hancock, Michael Kelly are with us today. With us until 10.
Yes.
That's the new deal now. They hang out for an entire hour. None of this leaving 15 minutes early so you can go play snooker.
No.
You got to hang out for
we
the full
snooker.
Hour.
Snooker.
No, we didn't.
Oh.
I got a new tip.
Oh.
I can't wait to try it out.
So I am told that we have some audio.
It's from the KMOX archives.
From the archives that we need to hear.
He's 0 for 1 with a hard hit flyout back in the second inning. And he's bats here in the fifth, and he's one ball, no strikes. Here's the pitch, swing and a miss. Strike one, we're 1-1. Gorman, off to a good start. He impressed a lot with the second base play this spring, and he's DHing today for the Cardinals. And the 1-1 pitch is headed home, swing and a line drive foul down the left field line. One ball and two strikes.
Notice he doesn't want to color
here for the Cardinals. 1-1 game here in the seventh inning. There's a pop foul. It's coming back to the booth, Michael. Here it is. Oh, just over our heads. That's a strike. A high strike. Foul and out of play. One ball and two strikes.
When was this?
Swing, and there's a high fly ball to deep left center field. It may go. Adios. Home run. Walker. And the Cardinals lead it 4-0.
When the heck did that happen?
Unbelievable.
What a weak home run call that was. Adios. Really? That's what you're going
to
go with?
Trying to.
This phenom
myself.
Comes in and hits a grand slam.
Right, fine,
and
fine.
He comes up with,
I have no record. I hadn't thought about it. It was spontaneous.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be if you're a true play-by-play guy and if somebody does something.
Are you giving him, this is what, giving him trouble about the
how
home run
fun,
call?
How great would it be if an actual radio broadcast, the play-by-play guy calls it, and his analyst goes, that call sucks.
Really?
Adios.
That's good.
I have no recollection of having done that. When
that
was
from a late night with Hancock and Kelly on Monday nights.
Oh, wow. Oh.
We were talking about what it's like to sit next to John at a baseball game.
This is why you don't want me on the radio between 8 and 10 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah, well,
I,
or at all.
I thought John was you're so genuine about not remembering that. I thought Matt was going to say that. He made like
it was AI.
No. Yeah, I thought it was going to be AI. But
I literally have no recollection of that.
Wow.
Whatsoever.
Well, you did pretty good, but that was a weak home run.
I love the analyst calling it out in the moment. Yeah. Really,
Adios? Well, he never let the analyst drop in every time the analyst would start. He'd go,
I heard you try a couple times.
Oh, it's like sitting in my seats with him at the game. We used to have a guy in front of us that was really nice to me.
He
dropped his season tickets. Because John believes that he's entitled to call the game for everybody in
it's
section
150. It's an enjoyable
thing
for the fans. They're sitting
Is
there
it?
And they love it.
Well, the guy in front of him turned around and said, hey, idiot, will you shut the... Because I, you know.
One guy.
And so John was like.
There had to be. One guy. It's always one guy. But the people out there, they love it.
Are you sure that he wasn't speaking for everybody else who was afraid to speak up?
You look around and everybody's smiling at you, nodding their heads at you.
The people love it.
The people do. They love it when I go out there and call the game.
Yeah, well,
I used to call the games from the stands when the kids were playing.
It is. He does do a pretty nice job at it. Hey, did you ever tell him how you submitted an audition tape?
I did.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, I was driving home. I drove back and forth to Jeff City every week, and so if you put the window down, and you record on your phone that it's crowd noise, and so I'd put the window down and call a couple of innings, and then I shot it into. I knew one of the owners, so
wait, of the Cardinals?
Yeah,
you sent it to the owner.
Yeah, no, I sent it to Waterman. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. You know, our buddy Ron that was down there. And you sent it to a lot of folks.
I did.
And?
Here I am.
Your own 20-minute show.
look, we'll put you on 20 minutes on Fridays. How's that sound?
I love it.
Great tape. You sound good. How about 20 minutes on Friday morning?
You need to get a sponsor, 20 minutes to fitness. You can listen to the Hancock and Kelly show and do your workout.
That's
you
right.
That's brilliant. That's the marketing mind of Michael Kelly. Right?
Yeah. Wow, that's a great idea.
He's incredible.
20 minutes to fitness, bro.
I'm in, buddy. I lost 6 pounds, by the way.
Oh, really?
Congratulations. Yeah.
Down from my
Were you not feeling from well my last all-time
night? Down from my all-time record high. And
6 pounds isn't really hard to lose, though, is it? I mean,
apparently
you
not.
Just quit drinking water
because the
day.
Doctor asked me what I've been doing and I couldn't think of anything.
Well, you're taking the dog for walks.
No, not really.
Are you less stressed?
I don't have stress, Amy.
Wow, that's
I don't
so...
have acid reflux, I don't have stress.
Why'd you have the stroke then?
That's how that was a one off.
Oh my God.
That was a one off.
My God.
They gave me the shot right away. And, once my left side started working again, I knew things were going to be okay.
How did acid reflux come up?
If you're gonna lose a side, the left side's not a bad way to go.
My God.
Well, let me tell you, it didn't stop working. When I walked into that hospital that day, and it's a long story because, John needed a loved one to show up, and so guess who came? Me. The mouth didn't quit moving. He was the only guy I knew who says, Kelly, I can't move my left arm, but my mouth's going good, buddy. I thought,
he said, my partner's in there. They said, go right in.
I was like, okay, whatever. Yeah, that's my partner.
Hancock and Kelly with us until 10 on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Bunch and I talked about it earlier this week, but it was so bizarre that it is worth bringing up again. And that is that mayoral candidate, Alderwoman Kara Spencer, held a campaign event in Baden, as one does when you're campaigning for mayor. She had a campaign event, invited the public, come hear what she stands for, meet and greet, get to know her. Great. Who shows up but Mayor Tashara Jones, the mayor of the city of St. Louis, along with a security detail, and Elliot Davis of Fox 2 posted some photos from this event where Kara Spencer is speaking in the front of the room, and off to the side is the mayor, arms crossed, sunglasses on, with her security detail just standing there. And allegedly the mayor then went over and shook hands with people. And as many people commented, again, because you got to go straight to the comments on something like this when it's a Facebook post. Not illegal to show up, I guess, at this public event with Kara Spencer, but super weird and pretty off-putting. Not a good look, in my opinion, for the mayor. Gentlemen?
Well, no. You wouldn't. I certainly would never advise a client of mine to go crash their opponent's, grassroots event. It's not, it's not a rule, but you just don't do it. And I don't know what the possible intended purpose of it was, because I can't see anything beneficial coming out of it for Mayor Jones to show up at a Kara Spencer rally. Time would be better spent having perhaps her own rally or, at this point, working on her resume. But, that's, I've never seen it.
So
never seen it.
I thought it was classless. Now, you all know that I am working for some groups that are supportive of Kara Spencer. Having said that, I've been doing politics in St. Louis for 30 years. I know Tashara Jones. Like, I know her personally. I know Kara Spencer. That's the mayor's behavior. I mean, that's just the way the mayor is. You know, she is that way. That did not surprise me that she showed up. I would have extricated myself from that situation based on the narrative that the city hall came out with, which was, hey, we, you know, she, everybody was asking her to come to this thing. It was clearly obvious it wasn't her event. It was a Spencer campaign event. I'd have left it. Knowing Tashara the way that I do, it did not surprise me at all that she stayed there. And, you know, I think this campaign has pretty effectively shown who both of these candidates are, both positives and negatives on both sides. I think that the voters have definitely gotten to see who both of these candidates are.
What do you think the intent of that was?
Intimidation, potentially. I'm sure there was a bit of a mess up that the mayor was going to be there. But, I mean, this mayor doesn't just show up by herself. She shows up with a huge security entourage and stuff. It would have been abundantly evident that, hey, this isn't working. And if you're the mayor, you could have, you know, just moved yourself out of that situation. So I have to think it's, even if you buy into the idea that it was some type of miscommunication, to sit there and do what she did was nothing more than intimidation.
How would that happen? If it's a campaign event for one of the candidates, why would the other one think that they were supposed to be
there? Well, so the way I understood it is the mayor and the alderwoman were at some type of a forum/debate in the morning. I think it may have been a business forum where they were answering questions. And to their credit, they are doing that a lot. We've all seen that on radio, television, different organizations. They are both getting out there. And apparently some people had said to the mayor, this is what the mayor is saying, hey, I'll see you tonight at blah, blah, blah. I'll see you tonight at blah, blah, blah. The mayor, obviously, like campaigns do, hey, we got to be where the people are, and went there. Well, it was a Kara event. It wasn't a Kara Spencer for mayor event. So the mayor described how she got there as by accident. I think by her staying looked classless and trying to be intimidating.
Yeah, the response from the public, I haven't seen anything positive. Like I said, I saw words like pathetic, petty, classless, tasteless, desperate. And then there was one comment, it resonated with me because of the picture of Kara Spencer speaking, and the mayor is just to the left, arms crossed with her security detail, you know, sunglasses on. And one comment just said, oh my goodness, she's right there. And I just thought that's how you feel when you see the picture. Oh my gosh, she's right there.
So this was an outdoor event?
Indoor.
No, it was indoor.
Well, so why are you wearing your sunglasses?
It looks bright in the room.
It did have some pull-down garage doors that were bright.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know, but
it's the mayor.
Again, it feels classless to me. But here's the thing. I guess here's my question. Because when all the stuff was going on with the snow, right, in the streets and the trash not being picked up in the potholes, and I brought up those concerns to the mayor, and she said, well, Amy, you know, I don't think that's happening, which was like straight up gaslighting, or she literally doesn't know what's happening. Does the mayor know how the people of St. Louis are perceiving her appearance at Kara Spencer's event? Or is she in a bubble where she doesn't even know that people are like, this looks bad?
You know, I've actually been a candidate, and things, you know, I had an opponent at a public event one night call me an idiot savant because I could play the piano, but obviously didn't know anything about Pete and the Secretary. Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, things do kind of get personal when your name's on the ballot and your opponent is, you know, in the room, and you develop whatever feelings you develop toward them. I would have to assume at this point that Kara Spencer and Tashara Jones don't have a very high regard for one another. And so, you know, you ask what the intent was. I think the mayor was trying to send some kind of a message. I don't think it worked. But that's what she was up to, I think. And they, you know, that's got to be a very contentious relationship at this point.
So the election is about a week and a half away, April 8th. The people of St. Louis will decide who the mayor is going to be. Does something like this, and we know that Kara Spencer did really well in the primary. So, I mean, we'll see if it changes at all. But do you think the margin changes? Is it closer? Is it worse? What do you think will happen on the election?
I've heard some theories out there that they think turnout's going to go up. I don't see that. I don't see turnout going up. I think us probably getting 16 to 19%, 20% of city voters to turn out again. I think the Alderwoman Spencer's voters are obviously motivated. I think the mayor was probably in some political trouble prior to that snowstorm. I think that snowstorm ensured that she was going to lose badly. And I anticipate that she probably does lose badly. I think Kara Spencer gets in the high 50s, maybe even 60%. Why would Mayor Jones do better? Because now we're down to a binary choice and none of the confusion of how many and who you can vote for, et cetera. I think it will tighten a little bit. But, I think if I would rather be in Kara Spencer's shoes than Mayor Jones.
And don't forget that this is a relatively new situation where the April election in the city matters. You know, because you'd have the primary election and whoever wins that's the mayor. So you'd have a Democrat and a Republican, and the Republican's not going to get, 12% of the vote maybe. And so the voters who have maybe lived here all their lives are not used to, this is only the second time now where the April election actually matters. So how that affects and relates to turnout, I would think would be depressive on turnout because there's no history of showing up in April and casting a vote that's going to actually elect somebody.
John and I look at these elections. You could tell, we could see this 6 months ago. This was going to be a change election. Like, it was a simple campaign of what Kara Spencer would have to run on. It was obvious what the mayor would have to deal with. Change. I think the question we're going to see is, how deep is that change? How deep was the alliances and people thinking that that Mayor Jones was setting the agenda, et cetera, and Megan Green? I think there's going to be a question as to what change is going to look like based on the outcome of this election. Not only the mayor's race, but you have a comptroller's race, you have Board of Aldermen races, only a couple that actually matter. But in a city that's gone really heavily progressive left, I think we're going to see if we're going to stay in that lane or if we're going to moderate some.
Keeping with local politics, the city of St. Louis, Governor Mike Kehoe, as we mentioned earlier, did sign the bill that puts the St. Louis police force under state control, that Board of Commissioners. And John, we've asked you before, like, how does this change things? Will it change things? And I thought of a specific question yesterday.
Yeah.
Certain policies, like the no chase policy, you know, like if it's going to be a police chase or something like that, or, you know, if you're going to go after a guy, it doesn't have to be a violent crime and so forth. Could the police board change those types of policies? Are those changes that could happen now that the police force is under state control?
It could. Yeah, absolutely could. I think what you'll see, and it's kind of a misnomer to say state takeover, because what it really is, the governor is now going to appoint four of the five members to the police commission, and then the mayor's the fifth member. So, but they're all St. Louis City residents, have to be. So it's still going to be city people. I think what you'll see is rulings from that board that are going to be consistent with what the police officers on the street believe they need. And you'll see the board probably acting in a way that is supportive of the police and their priorities. I think you could possibly see a change in how crime statistics are reported in the city. You might see some policy changes. One thing I've talked about, and I have no idea if this is on the governor's or anybody else's radar screens, but in some places, they incent their on-the-street police officers with what they call hazard pay, because these officers are all on a pay scale. It's a collective bargaining situation where their salaries are determined. And so the folks that are the youngest make the least, and which is true in most professions. But it's also true in policing that the folks that are actually on the street patrolling and dealing with criminals on a daily basis you know, they're at significant risk. And so there could be a way to incent that, them with hazard pay that wouldn't upend their collective bargaining agreement and might make policing in the city of St. Louis more attractive. I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but things like that could make a difference. This is not going to solve the crime problem in St. Louis by any means, but I do think it's a step in the right direction.
I just don't see it being as disruptive as many people who are upset about it being. I don't like it. I don't like that we're going to have state control of the police department, and I get the nuances of what John just described. My experience having lived through this and also worked on the campaign to bring us local control is that the mayors and the governors in the past have worked pretty collectively. I think the most encouraging part of what's happening to the city right now, because again, I'm not a supporter of this. I think cities ought to be able to have their own control. I think it puts the state with skin into the game. And having known mayors who were there who would like to have the highway patrol, you know, working the highways like they do in every other county in the state and doing some of that stuff, I think is going to be helpful. I think it's put the governor in the bathtub with the Democrats and trying to address some of these problems. And I think John's right. He's going to make the officers feel better. But at the end of the day, rubber's going to have to meet the road here. And I don't see it working without collective action from both the mayor and the governor.
What do you suppose the makeup of the board will be? He gets to appoint it, so...
Well, in the past, it had been community leaders. I can think of people who had run by state had been on there, or the Chamber of Commerce. At that time, I think they called it RCGA. We had some faith leaders in the past, both Catholic priests and religious ones that had served on there. Retired business executives have done it. I think there had been some labor leaders in the past. I think it's been folks who are reflective of St. Louis. Now, obviously, the governor would have a wide breadth of understanding of who those people are, and people who are interested in policing are going to have a certain pedigree behind them. But I truly believe it's going to be representative of the state,
yeah,
the city.
The St. Louis Police Foundation, which is a large nonprofit in this community, and
huge.
They raise a lot of money to support police. I would suspect that maybe some of the members will come from that organization.
That is John Hancock and Michael Kelly with us. It is the Chris and Amy Show. We still have another segment to go with these fellas right here on 104.1 FM KMOX. We've got Hancock and Kelly with us still until 10 o'clock.
How are you guys liking this 9 o'clock start?
Yeah, you know.
No?
Good.
Well, Amy's been up for 6 hours.
Well, Amy, always now. Are you still waking up in the middle of the night like you used to?
No. I will say... I haven't done the 9 o'clock start while training because, as you guys know, I'm injured. So, yesterday I did wake up at 5, and I tried to do the stationary bike for a bit. But, no, I've been sleeping in till like 6:30.
Wow.
I know.
And then what time do you...
Sleeping in till 6:30.
I know you're constantly doing show prep, but there has to be a Ranji prep you go through. Like, okay, got to do it again.
Alcohol and Valium, probably.
Yeah. Probably? You don't know what you do?
I don't know. It's orange. No, just kidding.
I noticed you were first in today, Ron.
Just kidding.
That's right.
Is that
kidding.
A typical?
Yeah. I like to get in here
not,
bright and early. Yeah.
I was super.
Yeah.
I was so late.
I like to be here so that I can get a lay of the land,
yeah.
You know?
Understand what's happening.
Yeah.
I was late today.
Find a good parking spot like Hancock.
Or two.
Well, I park between these two cars. Yeah. That's a space.
Yeah. Well, it was.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty good at driving. So, this has got to be easy prep for you on Fridays because this first hour just kind of happens. And
Fridays are my favorite.
Nobody knows.
It's the best.
Nobody has any idea what's going to happen when
we
sit down in here.
Right.
Although I will say, I got to throw this out there. We are talking to retired United States Army Lieutenant General Mark Hertling in the next hour.
At 10:30.
About signal
conversation. That's
going to
be really interesting.
He's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to listen.
Former commanding general, I think that's the right phrase, of all U.S. armies in Europe.
Yep.
It's a pretty big deal.
He's awesome. So we'll get his take on... How big
does
of a deal
a,
that actually is.
Does he have
is.
A St. Louis tie? I'm trying
yeah,
to
he
yes.
went to CBC.
Okay,
come
that's
here.
What it was. That's
it
what
has
thought.
To be a big yeah. deal. I mean, it has to. I watched Fox News for 6 years and heard what a big deal it is to have national security and war secrets out there.
On
that
your
can
emails?
Be hacked and emails and stuff. It has to be a
it's
big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking to him. I got a ticket yesterday. That's why I was late today.
Whoa.
Driving so slow. I got a, ticket on the way to Kegs and Eggs.
Wow.
Like, had you pre-gamed or what caused you to be pulled over?
Speeding ticket?
Yeah. Speeding ticket about a mile from where I live.
How fast were you going?
So here's my issue. I was speeding, but I swear I was going 45. I didn't know the speed limit. The speed limit was 35. Uh-huh. So apparently I was going 45 and a 35. But the officer said, do you know I pulled you over? And I'm like, no, I don't, because I didn't realize I was speeding. I thought, I don't know why I thought the speed limit was 40. Like, don't you live there? I'm very unobservant. Whatever. And so he said I was going 50. So you're going 50 and a 35. And I know you're not supposed to talk back to an officer. So I just looked at him and I wanted to, like, I didn't want to confess to a sin I did not commit. Uh-huh. And I know I was going 45, but he said he had me at 50 and I didn't know what to do to stand up for my honor. So I just kind of looked at him probably with like a constipated face. You know what I mean? Just kind of like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then he gave me the ticket because I never get out of tickets. I've never gotten out of a ticket.
You didn't try the tears, huh?
First of all,
I cry in
every situation.
Me too.
I cry all the time.
Me
except
too.
For tickets. And I think I have a mean, stupid face, and the police officers look at my mean face. Yep. Ron said I look combative.
Yeah, I can imagine when he walks up to the car
yeah.
and looks at her face, he goes, uh-oh, this is how this is going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's a Karen.
And I guess.
Angry.
But why do I cry with everything else? And so I looked at him, and I wanted to say, I was going 45, like I wasn't going 50, but I didn't say anything. I didn't talk back. So I just looked at him like, I don't think that's true. And then he looked at me like, what are you going to do about it?
Well, it is encouraging that they're out there writing tickets, though.
This
right?
was the county.
Oh, of course.
The county writes tickets.
Yeah.
Because yeah. we talked to a city officer
yesterday.
A city officer who goes, was that the county? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. 50 and a 35. You had to have been on one of the main roads, like a Hanley or a Manchester or a Lime Ferry type
It was a
thing.
Main road.
Yeah, so
yeah.
it's a main road. I think 50 on one of those main roads. That King's Highway.
But I wasn't going 50.
People are doing 100 miles an hour on it.
That's the thing. It's like, there's like murderers walking around down here.
So do you think the guy's speed gun was not properly
I don't think he had a speed gun. I think
she's saying he's a liar.
No, I think he eyeballed it.
You think he wanted to meet you?
No, because he looked at me like, I hate you. Here's your ticket, you doofus. That's what he looked at me like.
If you need counsel in court, I'll be happy to.
Well, my lawyer showed up.
Yeah. She's got an attorney.
I've got an attorney.
You're fighting that, huh?
Yeah.
You're going to fight it?
Morgan and Morgan?
Yeah.
I just don't want to go to jail.
Are they going to fight for you?
They
if you have legal troubles.
Remember, you don't get help till we get paid.
That's right.
You guys want to hang out for another hour?
We're good.
Not this week.
Not this week.
Okay.
Complaining about your short show,
yeah.
And now you want to leave.
And by the way, we never said a word. If you listen to our show, it was good.
It was good.
Yeah, I got 20 minutes. We'll see you next Friday, boys.
Yeah, not me.
What?
I won't be here.
It's just me.
All right, we'll see you next Friday, Michael.
20 minutes to fitness with MSK.
John Hancock and Michael Kelly. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.